Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." As we run the race of life, let's not forget that the world sees the fruit, not the branches. In order to win people to Jesus, we must be fruit-bearing Christians, or else the cross will be of no effect. It's not what we say or who we vote for, it's what we do. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer tells of struggling to be among the first to get into a crowded van after a Promise Keepers rally. Not much of a witness to the van driver.
And I thought to myself, you know, those guys who came by to pick up pastors on the vans, they didn't see anything much different than they'd have seen if they'd have been picking up people who just came from some kind of a marketing convention. Maybe a little different, because we laughed at our selfishness, but that was about all. How would you live if you esteemed others better than yourself? The van should have pulled up and nobody should have gotten on. We should have just stood there and say, we just can't go first. I can't go first. I can't go first. I can't go first. You know, come 11 o'clock, well, okay, since you're older, we'll put you on. That troubled me. Troubled me because, above all, we who preach on the cross and who believe in the deep work of the Spirit, we should have been the first to say, you go, and we'll wait. You know, Jesus said that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But it is through the death of the cross that we bear fruit. It is coming to the end of our own rights. It is coming to the end of our own resources. Jesus says, whosoever shall lose his life shall find it. And whoever finds his life, he says, or lets go of his life, shall find it. Are you sometimes amazed that the cross which we love has done its work so superficially in our lives? And we still have so far to go. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. He was in the glories of heaven and he came to this earth and he was born in a manger. Let's just think of this infinite descent from glory to grime and then live that way. Live that way. God values selflessness. Everything I see in the world fights against that kind of a spirit. His way up was down. God values humility. That's the first lesson that I see here in the text. And then there's a second lesson, and that is the value of suffering. The value of suffering. How did Jesus change the world? And he changed you and me, and he certainly changed the world, didn't he? But how did he do it? You say, oh, he did it through his miracles. No, his miracles did not change the world. His miracles benefited a few people, but only temporarily. Lazarus had to re-die again. Can you imagine when he gets sick and saying, oh, this again? Everybody that Jesus healed got sick and died of something. You know, Jesus did miracles and refused to advertise them. Today we have people who advertise them but don't do them. It wasn't through the miracles that Jesus changed the world. He changed the world through his suffering, And I don't know if there's a shortcut to that, if we're going to be redeemed. There are different kinds of suffering, taking the cross into the world. There is, of course, the suffering of circumstances. Sometimes that involves the physical sufferings, marital conflicts. There is a kind of suffering that undoubtedly attracts the attention of God because we suffer well. We should suffer well for his glory. There's another kind of suffering, though, and that is where we receive suffering because we belong to Christ. It's sometimes called persecution. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But there's a third form of suffering that I think is even more precious to God, and that is voluntary suffering, such as what Christ did, where we choose to suffer though we would not have to. We could go back to our safe place, but we take the risk of sacrifice on behalf of somebody else. That is special to God. Bonhoeffer, of course, theologian who has attracted the attention really of the world, who was willing to stand up to Hitler, and who made the statement that when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die, and himself died in Flossburg at the age of 39. Bonhoeffer used to ask the people of his day and the church of his day, who is Jesus Christ for you? Christ said, if you go into the jails, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Let's not criticize the innkeeper. We do every day what he did, except we do it knowingly, and he does it ignorantly. He didn't know that Mary was bearing the Son of God, so let's let him off the hook. Fact is that you and I know that when we visit someone, Jesus expressly says, you have visited me, you have clothed me. Christ says that. And therefore, we have the opportunity to ask the question today, who is Jesus Christ to us today? In Bonhoeffer's day, it was the Jews, but who is it today in America? Certainly, it is the unborn child. It is the single parent. It is the child reared in the ghetto. It is the poor. It can also be the cab driver. By the way, as a parenthesis, this week I caught a cab, talked to the man who listens to our radio ministry, and he was telling me that Dr. Stoll of Moody Bible Institute was in the cab with him. And this man is a believer, and Dr. Stoll, took him by the hand and led him in prayer. And he must have told me that three or four times. He says, he actually held my hand. That's who Christ is to us, cab drivers. People at work who are very unchrist-like gives us a chance to treat them as Christ would treat them. And as a result of those opportunities, we extend beyond ourselves. There is a death that we need to die inside so that we can see that our circle of sacrifice must be increased if we are to look like the redeemed and meet Nietzsche's challenge. Because they're out there, and what they want to know and what the world wants to know is what Jesus looks like. In Brazil, there was a festival. And at these festivals, you know, they always sell trinkets. And there was a sign up that said, cheap crosses for sale. I wonder if that's the way our cross is. It's nothing that's this dramatic, we say to ourselves. None of this business of humility. My cross means ascend the ladder. Do this, but whatever you do, do not become a servant and do not accept the humble place. Let somebody else do that. Yet it is to the brokenness of the cross, that is that cross of humility and sacrifice to which God calls us. There is a legend of a man who was walking along carrying his cross, and it got rather heavy, especially the older he got. And maybe that's the way you feel today. You say, when I was younger, I used to be able to bear the cross more easily, but my cross seems to be getting a little heavy. And so the story goes that he was walking along and he met a woodsman who happened to be chopping some trees. And the man said, you know, he said, I have this cross, but the cross is too heavy. I wonder if you'd let me use your axe so that I could chop some of it off. The woodsman said, sure. So the man did that and carried his cross, and it was much lighter. Then the story goes that the man came to the promised land and noticed that there was a gulf between him and the promised land. But only the cross could bridge. But his cross was too short. And may I say to you today that when we make our cross lighter, through our own selfishness, our own advancement, and our own agendas, the lighter we make our cross, the weaker our witness to the world. I don't mean to imply, by the way, that if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as Savior, that the way to get saved is through suffering or taking up your cross. That's a challenge for Christians. The way you get saved is to accept the expensive cross that God gives us, where Jesus died for sinners as a sin bearer. And if you believe in him, you can be saved today, freely saved. But then the challenge to you and to me is, take up your cross and follow me. And so I end today by asking you the question, what do we do with Nietzsche's challenge? The answer of Philippians chapter 2 is that when we have this mind in us, which was in Christ, voluntarily choosing the low road, the humble path, the path of abuse, and the path of brokenness, and the path of one who had humbly given himself into the hand of God to be crucified. It is out of that death that life comes. It is the cross with all of its weight that changes us and makes us members of the redeemed who actually look redeemed. I end with a question. Who is there now, perhaps this person sitting beside you, maybe it's in your home, your neighborhood, your community, your sphere of influence, who is now the person to whom you can be Christ? Who is Christ to you today and this week? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course the question that I've just asked probes my own soul. Who is Jesus Christ for me today? Of course, we have a lot of attention being given to the political campaign and the election day today. And all of us who can go to the polls will go to the polls, and we will elect various representatives in Washington and elsewhere. But at the end of the day, we need to ask ourselves this simple question. What happens when we are disappointed politically? What if the candidate that we would like to see get elected does not get elected? Where do we go from here? What about the impact of what happens today? Well, my friend, soon we will know some of the answers to those questions, but I know that our agenda as believers does not change. And that is to be involved in the lives and the hearts of many people in this very, very broken world. As we reach out to others with the good news of the gospel, living authentically, the church can still impact the world no matter who gets elected. If we use Jesus Christ as our example and follow his pattern of humility and service, who knows? But God may still smile upon us and give us the awakening that we so desperately need. So from my heart to yours, let's not give up. Let's be involved politically, but let's know that our hope lies beyond this election and the next.
Words of hope from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Cross, Our Challenge Before a Watching World, the last message in his series, Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Make sure you cast your vote, and then join us tomorrow for a new series on our next Running to Win.